Global Connections Television is a privately funded, independently produced program. The opinions expressed on Global Connections are solely those of the moderator and his guests. We invite you to go to the website at www.globalconnectionstelevision.com to view previous shows. If you're involved with a PBS or community access television station or an educational institution that has an intra-campus television hookup, or perhaps a podcast or just a computer and would like to share the programs, please feel free to do so. Global Connections is provided at no cost to help people in the U.S. and worldwide better understand how international issues impact our lives.
Welcome to today's Global Connections program. I'm Bill Miller. Today, we're going to take a look at a very interesting organization that works to help inform Americans about the United Nations, and that's the United Nations Association of the USA. My guest today is Rachel Pittman. Rachel Pittman serves as the Executive Director of the United Nations of the U.S. Association of the USA. UNAUSA is a grassroots movement of more than 20,000 Americans and over 200 chapters across the U.S. who are dedicated to supporting the work of the United Nations in communities, on campuses, and on Capitol Hill. Prior to joining UNAUSA, Rachel served as multiple leadership teams participant for several professional associations that represented lawyers, surgeons, regulators, and engineers. Rachel Pittman, welcome to today's Global Connections program.
Thanks for having me, Bill. It's great to be here.
I appreciate you being with me today. We've got a lot to talk about in 24 minutes, so let's just jump right into it. Just give a little overview of the UNAUSA. I gave a very brief background, but is it a 501c3 nonpartisan organization? What exactly is it?
And we are a grassroots movement. So we have members, like you said, all across the nation, our 20,000. And within our membership, we have over 225 chapters on college campuses and communities and even in high schools that are active and mobilizing their local communities around the work of the UN.
Oh, very good. And people can learn more about, our viewers can learn more about it by going to www.unausa.org to get additional information, also to become a member, right?
Yes, absolutely. We encourage membership, so please join us.
Well, very good. And full disclosure, I've been a member of UNA for decades now, so just put that up front. Well, very good. Well, let's jump into it and talk about, before we get into the issues, you are involved with the United Nations Foundation and the Better World Fund. How does UNAUSA interact with those two operations?
Yeah, so we are part of the family of the UN Foundation. And what we do here is we convene businesses, individuals, other NGOs who want to engage and support the UN. And the Better World Campaign is my sister campaign. We are part of the US-UN division within the UN Foundation. So we work together to engage Americans and members of Congress on the vital work of the UN.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the types of programs that you have to help inform the people in the United States about UNA or about the UN?
Yes. So throughout the year, we do several different programs at the national level and, of course, through our community chapters. So at the national level, we hold signature events. We bring individuals, for example, to the UN in February so they can hear from UN officials and representatives about the challenges they face and how they solve them around the world. And that just provides them with more information and helps them become more informed. We also, and hopefully we'll talk about this later on in our discussion, we bring them to Washington, D.C. so that they can go through some trainings and then go to Capitol Hill so that they can talk to their congressional office about the work of the UN and why it's important to fund and support it. And
Well,
we'll also throughout the year, Bill, we'll do webinars, we'll do programs on careers at the UN, and offer different types of online and in-person programming to continue to engage our membership.
very good. Now, let's talk about the training and your Capitol Hill activities. You just had that recently in early June. Talk about that a bit.
Just the beginning of this week, we brought together about 250 of our members from all across the country. They came to Washington, D.C. to hear from UN agencies, individuals from the State Department, just so that they have a better understanding of the different global issues that are happening around the world and why it's important for US engagement. And so that happened the first couple of days. And then, like I said, we took them to Capitol Hill, where they got to visit their elected officials and talk about the UN because it's important. This is appropriations season, and we want to be able to tell our members of Congress it's important to fully fund the US's UN and peacekeeping dues, as well as to support humanitarian aid. So it was our time as constituents to talk to members of Congress about the important work of the UN.
And it's extremely important that the United States be actively involved in the United Nations because the UN is, or the US is a key player at the United Nations. Now, all 193 countries are important, but some are a little more important at times than others, but it's extremely important. How do you communicate with members of Congress, especially in a divisive Congress such as the one we have today, and explain to them the importance of being involved in this international institution? And we'll talk about some of the services of the UN in a few minutes, but how do you explain to them that it's in their best interest? It's not just in the best interest of people living overseas or the folks at UN headquarters in New York, but also for all Americans.
We talked to them about the impact that the UN makes and how US leadership at the UN is so important. So, for example, think about the pandemic and how the world, through the UN, was able to come together and tackle the COVID-19 crisis. So, we talk about that to the opioid crisis and how the UN has done a lot of work in coordinating between countries to fight against opioid crisis. And there are a lot of different issues that affect Americans and why we need that US engagement in the UN. And also, if we don't tackle the global crisis around the world, like a pandemic, they will also come to our shores. So we need to make sure that the US is engaged and supporting the UN.
Now, I'm sure many members of Congress are aware of UN peacekeeping. They've heard about UN peacekeeping missions. I think there are about 10 or 11 right now. Some of them may have heard about Rotarians teaming up with the World Health Organization and UNICEF to eliminate the scourge of polio. But the UN system, the family of the UN agencies, is so broad. You have agencies that help provide assistance in moving aircraft, ships, mail, weather information around the globe. These are services that we all depend upon. Do you find that most members of Congress are aware of that? I'm just curious.
No, they're not. And that's why we bring that information up to them, but also to their community. So that was one of the messages I said to our members before they left, is when they go back home to their local communities and when they talk to their members of Congress and other elected officials, talk about, just like what you said, how the UN helps manage the mail system. Talk about UNUSA, that oversees satellites and helps to manage the different satellites that are out there in outer space, because I need my cell phone to work, right? So
Don't we all?
so
Don't we
it's just
all?
it's important, like you said, for them to know that, yes, the UN does a lot of great work in regards to humanitarian assistance, but they also help to coordinate these systems around the world that we all rely on.
Exactly. And I'm sure if we went to Delta or United or Singapore Air, they would also say we need the UN to help us. to move our aircraft safely in international airspace. It's absolutely critical to this world that we live in, this high-tech world. And just imagine if we didn't have those services. We could not function. Humans could not function. Or if they did, it'd be a state of chaos, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. We need those systems. We need coordination. And we also need the U.S.'s voice so that we can help create those global policies.
Exactly. And that's what we're going to talk about in just a moment when we come back. But for the moment, let's talk about our break here. You're watching Global Connections Television, which is a privately funded, independently produced program. The opinions expressed on Global Connections are solely those of the moderator and his guest. We would invite our viewers to go to our website at www.globalconnectionstelevision.com to view previous programs. Also, if you're involved with a PBS or community access television station, or perhaps an educational institution that has an intra-campus television hookup, or you have a podcast, or you just have a computer, you like our shows, you would like to share them, please feel free to do so. Global Connections Television is provided at no cost as a public service to help us better understand international issues and how they impact our lives. Today, we're taking a look at probably the most important international institution there is, and that is the United Nations. And our guest today is an expert on the UN. Rachel Pittman serves as the executive director of the United Nations Association of the UNA-USA, which is a grassroots organization of over 20,000 Americans and over 200 chapters across the U.S. who support the work of the UN in communities, in camp, on campuses, and on Capitol Hill. Rachel, we're talking about the importance of the United Nations and the services of the UN. You also have to deal, I think, with the myths, do you not? There's so many myths out there. Going way back decades ago, the John Birch Society used to put up billboards, get the U.S. out of the UN, get the UN out of the U.S., and it resonated with some people. I've discovered over the years, those people did not understand what the UN did in most cases. But how do you overcome some of the myths? And what are some of the biggest myths that you are dealing with right now?
Yes. And along with those myths is misinformation, which is extremely dangerous when you put out wrong information about the work of the UN or who they support. So some of those myths is that the US budget is there's a large portion of the US budget that goes towards the UN, where we just don't have any funding left to service our citizens here in the US. Well, that's a huge myth. The UN budget or the funds that go towards the UN from the US is less than 1% of the US budget. So that is a major myth that we're always trying to discredit. Another myth is that treaties that come out of the UN is law. We, as US, they oversee legal issues here in the U.S. That also is not true. We have our own government. It's just that the UN is a place where member states come together to come up with policies that they all agree upon, but it's not necessarily law. So, it's up to us that whenever we hear a myth, that we come back with the facts in order to dispel them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two of my favorites are one, the UN is a one world government, which it is not. And the second is the UN is rolling in money, untold fortune at the United Nations, which it doesn't have. And these are all myths. And as you said, misinformation that's put out there by people who really either don't have good information or accurate information, or they want to disrupt or make people believe that the UN's counterproductive or destructive to the American public. Well, let's talk about the UN. You and I have monitored the UN for years, and the UN has made a lot of changes to improve its internal operations, to make it more effective, more efficient. What have you seen at the UN to help it improve its operations? Or what would you recommend as someone who's an expert on the organization?
Yeah, well, one of my favorite things that they have done is the Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, ensured that his leadership has parity, meaning that there are more female leaders, senior leaders within the administration of the Secretariat. So I think that is one change that I'm so proud that the UN has done. Moving forward, which they're doing more of, is involving young people and not just having them participate in the program, but include them in decision making and also in leadership. So they just created an envoy's office on youth at the UN. It's newly created. And so as long as they keep doing that and including youth voices, I think we will have a better future on the way that the UN operates by including those voices.
And one thing I've noticed over the years too, the UN has improved their internal controls as far as monitoring the money, the funding, how the money is spent, the accountability, shall we say, and of a much tighter situation and a much more accurate control over the expenditures. And years ago, to be quite honest, back in the 70s and 80s, the UN was pretty lacking that. I mean, come right down to it. But they've certainly tightened that up today as far as improving their internal operations so the money is not wasted. Do you find that to be the case?
I do. And actually, during our leadership summit this week, one of our guest speakers was the U.S. representative to the UN for reform in management, Chris Liu. And he talked about the great work and strides that the UN is making on reforms. And once again, it's great that we have this U.S. leadership engaged in this process so that we too can ensure that our U.S. dollars are being well spent.
Mm-hmm. And over the years, we've seen these improvements at the United Nations. And I remember a statement, I guess it was by Madeleine Albright, who's the former permanent rep of the United States to the UN and also Secretary of State of the U.S., saying that the UN is not perfect, but it's indispensable. It's absolutely critical that we have the UN. And that's what I say to people when I get in discussions. It's not a perfect organization. There are no perfect organizations, but you have to have some place that brings the countries of the world together under one roof to talk about these problems like climate change, human trafficking, empowering women, just on across the board. And the UN is really the only game in town, is it not?
It is, absolutely. We need the UN. We need to be able to bring those 193 member states together to talk about the issues that you just listed so that we're all on the same page, not only on the same page, but moving forward together in order to advance these issues for the betterment of the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, the UN certainly has its hands full with all of the tragedies going on around the world with the conflict in Ukraine, with the Israeli-Hamas war, climate change, just on across the board. What do you see as two or three of the, I'm almost afraid to say the highest priority issues, but there are so many high priority issues. But what do you see as some of the major ones they're dealing with right now?
I mean, you just said it. I mean, the war in Gaza, Sudan, what's going on there. And but it's the UN has to deal with these global threats. But they also need funding in order to deal with these global threats. So that's a major issue that is confronting the UN, is that member states need to step up and provide more funding for them. And then we talked about misinformation as well. So, you know, putting it all together, we need to address these issues in order for girls to go to school, to fix the climate crisis, to address, you know, humanitarian crisis and people that are starving around the world. You know, the UN goes to places that no other countries or individuals may go to. So we need to make sure that we support this in this organization, this global organization, so that they can address these issues.
And we were talking about the budget. You reminded me a minute ago, years ago, now this may not be the case today, but when people would say the UN is awash in money, the UN covers the world really in dealing with human rights issues, peacekeeping issues, just on across the board. And it does it with support of the 193 member states. But I remember years ago that it was often quoted that the New York City Fire Department had a bigger budget than the United Nations had. And the UN is worldwide, and here you got the fire department in New York City. It's just remarkable how expansive the UN is and the outreach it has on really a relatively small sum of money.
Yeah, and that is why that we as UNA-USA advocates talk to our members of Congress about why funding, and not just, you know, giving the funding on time so that they can do the work that they do, so that they can pay the peacekeepers who are out there in harm's way, trying to prevent another crisis. So if we can do our part, the UN can do all the magnificent work that it's doing.
Mm-hmm. What role would you like to see for the UNA members in the future? I know they meet with members of Congress, and if they can't get to Washington, they can meet with them in their local districts. They can call them, no problem there, send emails, what have you. What role would you like to see the UNA members do in the future?
Well, I not so much do, but continue to do.
Continue.
And that is to continue to reach out to their local communities, so that they too are aware of the UN's work and impact on the lives of Americans. And also, you know, with the youth these days, the one thing I would add to your list is social media, to be available and use social media to spread the word about the UN and also fight that misinformation that we keep seeing out there, because the sentiment for the UN, it's becoming more and more negative. And so we need to address that with facts. We need to tell the stories of all the individuals, the children, the women that are impacted in a positive way by the UN. So I see our members as storytellers, as reaching out to audiences that may not know about the great work of the United Nations.
That reminds me, too, of not long ago, I remember listening to some of the talk shows, and even on some of the liberal stations like MSNBC, they were panning one morning, they were panning the United Nations because the Security Council was partially paralyzed and Russia was going to veto any resolution the U.S. brought before it. And at the same time, there was a whole U.N. system. There are really sort of two U.N. systems, as I see it. In operating in Ukraine, you had the World Food Program, you had the World Health Organization, UN Children's Fund, just on across the board, providing services in the line of fire services in many cases to help the people stay alive in Ukraine. Yet these talking heads, now I don't expect much, to be quite honest, from Fox or some of the others. I'll put my bias up front, but at least you expect some of these folks to have a better knowledge of the United Nations, but they just totally were unaware that the UN was operating really on two fronts, you know, in New York and also in the field on the firing line.
Yeah, and that's what I love about my sister campaign, the Better World Campaign, because the thing that they do is they will take members of Congress out in the field to see the UN in action and to see how U.S. funding is being used. So I think it's important for us to, at every different opportunity we have, to share the work of the UN with members of Congress and other leaders, be it out in the field or be it storytelling, whatever we can do to bring it home to them.
Exactly. Well, Rachel, unfortunately, the clock has beaten us again. So we're down to about our last 30 seconds. What message would you have for the viewers who are watching this show around the world about the United Nations and the UNA USA and UNA's in almost 100 other countries around the world.
Yes. Well, I will leave it with our theme of the year, which is the world needs the UN. The UN needs us. So please get involved and visit us at www.unausa.org and join us in this movement.
That is a perfect way to close it out. I think that's absolutely on the mark. But Rachel Pittman, I want to thank you so much for a very interesting and a very informative program today and bringing us up to date on the importance of the UN. And again, with the shortcomings of the UN, but also the positive aspects. But thank you again.
Thank you, Bill.
My pleasure. I'm Bill Miller. Thank you for joining us today on Global Connections Television.